Could you make welcome Pastor Don Finto and Pastor Dave Deering this morning? Yeah.
Amen.
That's our prayer. That's our hope. That's our longing that God would send revival indeed. So, next Sunday at 5 o'clock,
What's happening?
Legislative Plaza. Oh. Have you heard about it?
I did.
We've got the Sacred Assembly coming up, and I know we've been talking about it now for a while, and maybe you'll be glad when it's over so that you don't have to hear me to keep beating the drum, but I don't think I'm going to stop beating the drum when it's over, actually.
Good thing's happening after it's
over. Yeah, that's exactly right. So I wanted Don and Dave to come up here with me this morning and have a bit of a conversation with all of us here to kind of prepare our hearts for next Sunday, because we know and understand that when God does awesome things, it is extremely rare when he just does it without the people preparing their hearts and minds and lives. There is always in the moves of God, you always see people praying, fasting, repenting, crying out to him, and then something happens. It's a historical reality. And so we thought, you know what, with 1 week left, let's have a conversation in front of everybody to give them just some information and then some instruction about how we can live our lives for the next week in our own personal preparation, and then corporately. If we could unite and agree together, it might make it all that much more powerful.
If two or three of us agree together, if there are several thousand of us agree together, if the Lord is saying, if I can ever get them to agree, that many of them, I'm going to do something.
If one can put 1,000 to flight, two can put 10,000. What might several thousand do?
Yeah, that's right.
Don, it could change the atmosphere.
I know.
Talk about that.
Well, I got convicted several weeks ago that I was praying silently too much. There was no reason why I couldn't speak out, because with your mouth, confession, man, you don't, with your heart, you believe, with your mouth, you confess. So I decided that I needed to change the atmosphere around me. And so that changes the atmosphere. I want Jesus to be spoken in the atmosphere. And yes, 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 I thought, yes, yes. I'm driving that crazy car out there that somebody gave me that I paid $2.50 because I had to activate my Delta miles to drive to fly to Atlanta to pick it up.
It's a what kind of car is it?
It's an Lexus SC430, and it's a convertible, and the top goes down. And so when I learned this, I got in my car and I was headed out to Thompson Station, and I put that top down and I yelled praises to Jesus all the way out there.
Yeah.
I want to change the atmosphere over this city.
Yes.
We want to change the atmosphere over this city.
Yeah.
I believe that the time could come. I've been praying this for years. I believe the time could come when somebody drives through Nashville and come under conviction, because Nashville has become a landmine for Jesus.
Yeah. Yes.
I believe the time can come, and I believe this is the kind of thing that will happen. The time can come when people sit down on the tarmac at Nashville Airport and they start weeping and confessing that that's happened in the past.
Yeah, right.
And it can happen again, and I believe it's supposed to happen in Middle Tennessee and spread all over the nation.
Yes, yes.
Amen.
When you're by yourself, you don't have to just pray silently.
That's right. That's right.
I mean, that's what we're saying. Jesus said, when you pray, say.
Yeah.
He didn't say, when you pray, think.
No.
He said, when you pray, say.
Yes.
There's power in that.
Amen.
The scripture lets us know, you know, in Ephesians chapter 6, that there are ruling principalities and powers. Yeah. Daniel chapter 10, there's ruling principalities and power. The prince of the power of the air.
Yeah.
And I think every time we speak, every time we pray, every time we praise, it just terrifies the prince of the power of the air, because we're filling the air with the glory of God.
I'm not so sure you're not supposed to keep worship music going on 24/7, even silently, kind of lightly in your house, because the demons don't like that. They don't like to hear the name of Jesus spoken.
Amen.
Come on, get this stuff going. Get it out there. Change the air.
Don, we want to be like you when we grow up.
That's right. So talking about some practical points, mindsets and stuff to adopt, I want to start this morning. We want to start this morning talking to you about the word sanctify. Sanctify. Sanctification. Consecrate. Consecration. Okay? When we're talking about being sanctified this week, to sanctify means to purify, to prepare, or to dedicate oneself to a particular thing. And so what we see throughout history, both biblical history and recorded history outside of the Bible, is that when people would prepare themselves, consecrate themselves, sanctify themselves, God would respond in massive ways. And that's what we're looking to have happen. We're looking for God to respond in a massive way. And so it's not going to happen if we just go about business as usual and then God just does something. No, God responds to the cries of his people. And so we're trying to educate and inspire and motivate people to start crying.
Yeah.
To start crying and to start praying. I want to read this passage of scripture to you, and then we're going to unpack and discuss and see what happens here. But we've talked about the revival that happened under Hezekiah. This is 2 Chronicles chapter 29, verses 3 through 10. It says, in the first year of his reign, in the first month, Hezekiah opened the doors of the house of the Lord and repaired them, because his father had shut the doors. So Hezekiah opens the doors and he repairs them. Then he brought in the priests and the Levites and gathered them in the east square and said to them, hear me, Levites, like I got something to say. Sanctify yourselves. Would y'all say that? Sanctify yourselves. Sanctify the house of the Lord, God of your fathers, and carry out the rubbish from the holy place. For our fathers have trespassed and done evil in the sight of the Lord our God. They have forsaken him. They've turned their faces away from the dwelling place of the Lord, and they turn their backs on him. They have also shut up the doors of the vestibule, put out the lamps, and have not burned incense or offered burnt offerings in the holy place to the God of Israel. Therefore, what an important word right there. Therefore, the wrath of the Lord fell upon Judah and Jerusalem, and he has given them up to trouble, to desolation, and to jeering, as you see with your eyes. For indeed, because of this, our fathers have fallen by the sword, and our sons, our daughters, and our wives are in captivity. Now it is in my heart to make a covenant with the Lord God of Israel, so that his fierce wrath may turn away from us. The nation is in trouble, and King Hezekiah, as the leader of God's people, says, we've got to do something. We've got to respond. And the first thing he says we need to do is sanctify ourselves.
Amen.
Dave, talk about it.
Yeah, you know, when I look at this scripture, one of the things that I see here that Steve just read is it says, he has given them up to trouble, desolation, and jeering as you see with your eyes.
Yeah.
And I think sometimes we don't know how to make the connection of, as we said before, the natural and the spiritual. Like, how do we know God is dealing with us as a nation? So a friend of mine, one of the guys who's spoken into my life since I was a really young man, his name is Winky Pratney. He's a New Zealander. And Winky wrote a book called Healing the Land. And let me just give you four things, and you can look at this in Ezekiel 14 later, that are consequences of four other things we'll look at a little later. But here's four things that are, that you can see. The first one is called famine. And I want you to think about famine not just only of food, but think of it as removal of plenty and lack of supply to meet needs. Famine comes upon a land that God has had to lift his presence from.
Because we've defiled it.
Because we've defiled the land. Yeah, and so these are under the categories of as you read the scriptures, defilement, where we've defiled the land. Thanks, Steve. Secondly, ecological devastation. I like what Winky says when he says this, how true it is that when we sin against God, even nature turns against us. Have you ever considered things like the earthquakes, tornadoes, drought, floods, hurricanes? You know, if we weren't living in an age of the internet, Do you realize that a lot of these we'd be saying, these are like biblical proportion, but because we are so inundated, yeah. we become desensitized that we're just, oh, wow, look at that big earthquake. But back in Bible times, they recognize God's trying to get our attention.
Right.
And we blow right past that.
We just can't say that enough.
No.
They got that God is trying to get our attention by what's going on around the world. He says, you can see it with your own eyes.
Yeah.
I'm afraid we're not seeing it.
What was the, we said Jonah, you know, the guys on the ship recognized it. Jonah didn't. What was the other one?
The Assyrians.
Yeah.
The Assyrians, when they invaded the land and are living by all their pagan ways, it says that God sent lions among them to devour them. And the pagan Assyrians realize this is the God of the land judging us. The pagan Assyrians of old understood that the things that were befalling them were a result of God judging them because of their unrighteousness. And I think the Assyrians of old saw things clearer than we do today.
Yeah.
We don't put it together.
Yeah.
And what we're saying is 9/11 happened because we told God to bug off.
Yeah.
We told him, get out of our schools, get out of our government, and he did. He removed the protection. That's why stuff like Katrina, that's what happened. Mm-hmm.
And before I give you these other two, let's always remember, judgment is not just because God's ticked off and I just feel like wiping you out.
Right.
Judgment is to get your attention. It's like when you were a little child and there was some kind of discipline exercise that got your attention. So that you could turn.
Yes.
That's what judgment is. So don't think there's this mean, angry God who's just ticked off. No, he brings judgment because he wants us to pause and go, something's not right. Mm-hmm. So the third thing is war. Mm. War, that you get engulfed in war. And the fourth thing is disease. Think of the diseases, even the fresh cases of Ebola, things going on. We have to somehow make the connection. And some of you can say, well, yeah, but we're just being overly spiritual. No, we're being biblical.
Right. Mm-hmm.
We're being biblical. And we have to learn to recognize when God's doing things so we can better cooperate with him.
Mm. Now, you know, one of the things that needs to be said here, and we'll say it again probably, is this whole thing cannot be changed. It's not supposed to be changed governmentally. All the governments of the world one day are going to turn against Jerusalem. All the governments of the world. But at that time will be the strongest body of believers ever. Yeah. Because in every nation, there's... So we're not talking about... This is not a democratic republican thing. Yes, we're supposed to vote and get the best people we can in office everywhere. But this whole thing's not going to be transformed because of what the government does. Right. It's going to be transformed because of what Grace Chapel does. Right. And what believers do.
Right.
I did a 1-2-3 on that scripture that Steve wrote. Number one, the wrath of God had come upon them.
Yeah.
Number two, they sanctified themselves.
Yeah.
What happened? So that his fierce wrath may be turned away. Mm-hmm. See, we, as the body of believers, can turn away the wrath of God against our state.
Right.
And against our nation. I believe this thing that's happening next Sunday afternoon is supposed to spread to every single one of the 50 states. Mm. I see it happening in the capitals of every state of the Union. That's what's going to transform our nation.
Yeah.
That's where the revival comes. And when the darkest hours in history come, don't ever forget this, it's the brightest time in life for the believers. I was in a meeting one time when I always go to the worst thing I can imagine. And let me tell you the worst thing I can imagine right now for America. The worst thing I can imagine is that Sharia law would take effect in America. But let me tell you something. If it did, it's our best day. Mm-hmm. Because we're light. And we're going to be transforming people right in the middle of junk, just like they're doing in Iran and China in the persecution. Yeah. Don't think God can't work in every situation. Amen. But we've got to turn this thing around now.
Yeah.
We can turn it around.
Yeah. So the nation's in trouble. They defiled the land. It was evidenced by all kinds of problems that you just addressed. And the solution was sanctify yourselves and carry out the rubbish.
Yeah.
Get the rubbish out of the temple. And of course, the symbolism is all there, right?
Yeah.
We are now the temple of God. And when we sanctify ourselves, we're taking out the trash.
Yeah.
We're taking out the rubbish. We're sanctifying ourselves. We're not making excuses for our sins. We're not justifying our sins. We're not rationalizing our sins. We get to the point where we say, enough is enough. Revival start with me. Start with me right here, right now. I agree and call sin, everything that you've brought to my attention. Yeah. I renounce it. I repent of it. And I want power, resurrection power, to walk in the newness of life so I can live a life that honors and obeys God. That's what it's going to take.
Amen.
Sanctify ourselves.
So what are four things that are practical for us that the Bible says actually defiles the land? And when that word land is used, it means everything from the dirt on the ground to a region or territory or the people included in that, all right? And so here are four things that the Bible says defiles the land. And we're giving these to you as a bit of an inventory. And I'll tell you a story, as Cheryl and I use this as some inventory in our lives. The first one is idolatry. Mm-hmm. Idolatry is making anything in your life something that you have more affection for than God. Something you give more of your time, energy, and resources to than you do God and His kingdom.
It's not just bowing down before a totem pole somewhere.
Exactly, in the backyard.
Yeah.
Exactly. Secondly, immorality. Immorality defiles land because you're going against the ways of God and how He made things. Third, bloodshed. The taking of life. The fourth is breaking covenants with God. That when we've made promises with God, this causes God to lift His hand. And we're not wise enough to know how He still protects and how much He lifts. We're not smart enough to know that. But Cheryl and I used these things about a decade ago. And we took a day, fasted and prayed together. And it was just these four things. And we just asked the Lord, God, is there anything in our hearts of idolatry? Anything of immorality? Anything of bloodshed where we had hurt others? Is there places we'd broken promises between each other before God? And dear sweet Cheryl looks at me and she says, honey, I want to share something with you about idolatry. Okay. And she says, have you ever considered that maybe in your life football's idolatry? What? What? And so here's what she says to me. She says, so you're coaching football 5 days a week, Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, Thursday, Friday, and then you have to coach a game on Friday nights. Saturday, you watch the UT game. Sunday, you watch your dearly beloved Vikings, which means I die hard every year. Yeah. Then she said, then there's Monday night football, and now they have it on Thursday nights, and then you're in this thing called fantasy football. She said, do you think... revelation occurred. And all I'm saying, now wives, I'm not telling you should be going like, you shouldn't be doing this. Let God deal with your husband. Yeah. All right? But what the Lord was doing is He was reminding me that idolatry, like Steve said, it's not a pole in the backyard. And sometimes, because did I purposely try to do that? I didn't. But I allowed things to get filled up in such a way. So what I did is I repented that day and I went back to the Lord and said, how do I need to reprioritize? And He showed me. And I did. And so I just want to say to us, don't just think of idolatry as being something so obvious. Ask the Lord, because as we were asking the Lord, Cheryl brought this up because it's something the Lord gave her to share with me. I didn't see it. She did. She was right. And God dealt with me. So be sensitive this week to those kinds of things.
It reminded me of Henry Blackaby's Experiencing God when he gives this illustration. I don't know what the illustration was. The way I got it was this. That if you're sitting watching Super Bowl and God interrupts and tells you to do something, what would be your response? Okay, I'll do it when I get through. Or, that's not you, God. Surely you know I've got to watch the Super Bowl. I mean, we've got to put Him higher than anything. That's what He's saying.
Yeah. How you respond when God challenges you in the midst of you doing something you really like is a good indicator. Maybe of where that thing is in your life.
It is.
So one of the interesting things as we go through these scriptures here, we see that, of course, living an unsanctified life, living in a land that's been defiled, it causes separation and circumstances that get our attention and causes our fellowship with God to be broken and skewed. Now, there's something else that's interesting to me in the scripture, that when we live unsanctified lives, that it doesn't just affect our relationship with God, it really hinders our authority to live in victory over the enemy.
Yeah.
This is an important word. Listen to this. In Joshua, as they're getting ready to go into the promised land, and Joshua's getting ready to lead the people, God says, get up. Joshua 7:13, get up, sanctify the people, and say, sanctify yourselves, for tomorrow, because thus says the Lord God of Israel, there is an accursed thing in your midst, O Israel. Now look at, you cannot stand before your enemies until you take away the accursed thing from among you. You see, when we're holding on to the accursed things, the things that are unsanctified and sinful that bring defilement into our land, it lessens our spiritual power and authority over the enemy. We can't stand against the enemy. And so what we're saying to ourselves, to this church, to this region is, hey, we've got to sanctify ourselves because we are living at a diminished level of power and authority because of the things that we're compromising with. We cannot stand before our enemy if we're going to live unsanctified lives holding on to accursed things.
Amen.
Tell them, Don, about Achan.
Well, when Steve was saying that, the first thing I think about is this one man, Achan, when they went against, after the Battle of Jericho, everybody thinks, well, it's cool. And we, you know, that was so easy. God's creative. He never does the same thing twice. But they just think Ai is going to be a snap. Well, it wasn't. 36 men got killed. Why? Because one man disobeyed God.
Yeah.
Listen, if there's one person in the group that's rebellious against God and putting on a front, it affects the whole group in the spiritual. That's why it's key that all of us, I, Steve, Dave, all of us, that we come before the Lord and let the Holy Spirit tell us anything that we need to do. Any sin we need to confess. And by the way, James 5:16 says, confess your sins one to another that you may be healed. Sometimes we don't get victory over something by ourselves.
Yeah.
And there are plenty of us who haven't gotten victory, including me, who haven't gotten victory over things by ourselves. We had to bring it to light to somebody in order for them to come with us. So listen, you may need to do that. And I was laughing. Well, first of all, I was remembering.
I didn't think it was funny, by the way.
I was, one of the first things that when Steve and I started walking together closer, honestly, one of the first things I said to him was, who are you accountable to? Who do you confess to? I was having dinner with the president of a university one day. I mean, not all that long ago. He'd asked to have dinner with me. And I said, how you handled your sex drive? And what do you do with it? Because I knew he and his wife were having some struggles. We gotta be real with each other.
That's right.
We gotta get victory over this stuff.
Yeah.
We can. And it affects the whole group if we don't.
Yeah.
Right.
So Lord, help us. Mm-hmm. Help us in Jesus' name. All of us.
Yeah.
Grace Chapel in all of Middle Tennessee, all the believers in Middle Tennessee, all the believers in the U.S.
Yeah.
We can transform this nation.
Right.
Amen.
It says that Achan took the accursed thing into his tent and buried it.
Yeah.
And hid it.
Yeah.
And I wonder what kind of stuff is just buried in there, hiding, pretending it's not there, and we only resurrect it enough to flirt with it and then put it back down.
Yeah.
It's those buried things.
Yes.
Where God says, I want to sanctify that thing. I want to root that out and bring consecration and holiness and healing there.
And part of that is not just here.
Yeah.
It's here.
Yeah.
And, you know, in Matthew 5, it says that if you know somebody has something against you, like maybe you're okay, but they got something, there's something between you. It says you're to leave your gift at the altar, and before you do that, go take care of it. Then come back and offer the gift. And so this week, it's not just about here. It's about here. And I'll be honest with you, there were two relationships this week I checked in on that I just wanted to make sure things were good. And I want to challenge you to do the same. Don't be coming to battle knowing I'm so good with God, but there are 15 people irritated with you because you've just blown them off and you have not been situationally aware to the Holy Spirit saying hello.
Yeah.
So for some of you this week, it's going to definitely start here. It always does. But the overflow may need to be, honey, I'm sorry. Or if you're an employer, you guys, I've not treated you with honor. I need to ask you to forgive me. When God shows you something, obey him this week.
Yeah. Dave, I didn't do this first service. You know this, but I want to tell this story now, briefly. I don't want to go into too much detail, but I would just say this, that someone reached out to me last week who I haven't had a conversation with in 6 years. And they sent an email through another party and kind of, you know, got the word out to say, hey, let's talk. And I thought, oh my gosh, you know, with five of the hugest things going on within 2 weeks in one man's life, I'm just going to put it off until after Sacred Assembly and after my son gets married and after my 50th birthday and after my daughter's one-year anniversary and after the church's 20th birthday. Yeah. That's all that's in less than 2 weeks in my life right now. Yeah. I'll deal with that later.
Yeah.
And you know, the Lord brought conviction. Mm-hmm. And I'm meeting with that person this week before Sacred Assembly.
Yeah.
Because the Lord brought conviction and said, let's try to work that out before that.
Yeah. Our role is to listen and to obey.
And to obey.
Yeah. I mean, you know it, but if we walk in the light as he is in the light, we have fellowship. If you don't walk in the light with people, you don't have real fellowship.
Yeah. Yeah. Wow. Okay, so here we go. There's problems in the land. You need to sanctify yourselves. And so we've talked about that. So that we can be right with God, we need to sanctify ourselves so that we can have and walk in the power and authority over the enemy so we can stand against him the way that we're supposed to be able to. Another component of this is that we started off by saying we don't believe for a minute that America's hope and future is in any political party or in any politician. My Republican friends would probably shriek when I say this, but I tell people, it's not about the GOP, it's about G-O-D.
Yeah, if my people.
Yeah, if my people. Talk about that for a minute.
Yeah, we were talking about this a little earlier, that the scripture says in 2 Chronicles 7:14 that the whole key to the healing of the land has to do with you and me. It's not who's in the White House, who's in Congress, who's running the media, who are the power brokers in the entertainment world. It says, if my people who are called by my name, identifying with Jesus, humble themselves, which means just going low, recognizing your place. It's not flogging yourself. It's just recognizing he's God and I'm not. And pray, which has to do with intercession. It's interceding for others. Let me give you something that I hope when we're together next Sunday, whoever's praying, because Steve's invited some different ones to help us emphasize areas in prayer, that you'll have this image in you. Intercession is not you praying for somebody else and asking God to help them. So let me give you this picture. Imagine you're on a big ship. It could be a cruise ship, a military, but it's big. And out there, several hundred yards away, you see a boat with people floundering, them taking in water. You run to the captain, say, Captain, there's this boat, we need to help them. Scene one, okay? Scene two, same setting. You're on the ship, this boat, water coming to the boat, but you jump off the ship and you swim out to the boat and you stand there and you say, Captain, save us. Yeah. That is intercession.
Yeah.
That's identificational repentance.
Yes.
Identificational prayer, which is Nehemiah and others, me and my fathers have sinned.
Yeah.
And if you go, well, I didn't commit that sin. I haven't murdered anybody.
Yeah.
You may not have murdered anybody, but in your heart, you may have.
Yeah.
So if you can't identify with the outward sin, so if somebody's confessing something, I just can't even relate to that. Don't get caught up on the name of that sin. Focus on what's behind it. Find the root, and I guarantee you, you will be able to identify with it.
Yeah, yeah. So we want to be able to be right with God. We want to be able to exercise our authority over the enemy. We don't want to have a misplaced trust. We love our politician friends. God bless them and keep them. We're called to pray for them. That's a right thing to do. But ultimately, our hope in the United States of America, our hope in the church, is for a fresh, all-consuming outpouring of the Spirit of the living God on us.
Yes.
So when we talk about sanctifying ourselves, I want to connect some dots for you on this, because this is something I don't know that we're so familiar with the dramatic end result that we don't see the price that was paid to help facilitate that happening. So in Acts chapter 1, verses 4 and 5, Acts 1, 4 and 5, and it says, as Jesus was assembled together with them, the disciples, he commanded them not to depart from Jerusalem, but to wait for the promise of the Father, which he said, you've heard from me, for John truly baptized with water, but you're going to be baptized with the Holy Spirit not many days from now. So, okay, guys, I want you to wait. And waiting isn't just sitting around doing nothing, watching football. Waiting is a hopeful anticipation that God is going to do something awesome. Waiting, biblically speaking, is an active thing. It's not a lethargic thing. So Jesus tells them, wait. So they wait. Then we get to the fulfillment, Acts chapter 2, verses 1 and 2. And it says, when the day of Pentecost had fully come, they were all with one accord in one place. They were consecrated. They were sanctified. They were of one heart and one mind in one place. We cannot miss that. They were prepared. We know it was a 10-day prayer meeting. We know that that was 10 days from when Jesus, okay, let me do the math real quick. Jesus resurrects. He talked to him for 40 days pertaining to things about the kingdom of God. And then we know that the Holy Spirit fell on the day of Pentecost 50 days after the resurrection. That means there's a 10-day interval.
Yeah. Yep.
For 10 days, praying, waiting, confessing, crying, longing, believing, and then starting it all over again.
Being disappointed. And
yes. Wondering.
Yeah. Why not today?
You said it would be just a few days, and then it's when you go, 1,000 days is a year, and a year is 1,000 days. God, how much longer? But the point is, them living in that sanctified community and agreement helped facilitate the outpouring of the Holy Spirit through their obedience, because they were doing what Jesus said to do.
Yeah.
And then what happens? There comes a sound from heaven. A sound from heaven.
Amen.
And it was like a rushing mighty wind. And it filled the entire house. And they went out of that house boldly proclaiming the word of God. 3,000 people in a 3-minute sermon came to Jesus.
I've heard that sound. I need to get you the tape. It's in the George Otis Jr. thing. He didn't put it in a video, but he played it in Alaska, where people were praying in a small little church and the microphones were on. Do you remember hearing that, Don, at all? And you hear the whole thing. Mm. And it's this. And you get your hair starts standing up, because the presence of God swooped into the room. It's that sound.
Yeah.
Well, of course, what happened here is an initial fulfillment of Joel 2. Mm. And Joel 2, in the first verse of Joel 2 is, and by the way, we're in that feast, blow the trumpet in Zion. That we're in the Feast of Trumpets right now. Mm. Sound the alarm on my holy hill, Legislative Plaza.
Yeah.
Let all who live in the land tremble, for the day of the Lord is coming.
Yeah.
It is close at hand.
Yeah.
And then you skip on down to verse 12, and he says, even now, declares the Lord, return to me with all your heart, with fasting, don't forget, at least one meal a day. Come on, surely you can do that one.
Mm-hmm.
And weeping, my prayer is that we literally, I want to weep for this. Mm. Lord, help me feel it so keenly that I weep and mourn. Rend your heart and not just your garments.
Yeah.
Return to the Lord your God, for he is gracious and compassionate, slow to anger, abounding in love. He relents from sending calamity.
Yeah.
Who knows? He may turn and have pity and leave behind a blessing. And then you skip on down to verse 28, and listen, this is what we're all after. We're the afterward.
Yeah.
Yeah. That scripture in Joel 2 was partially fulfilled on Pentecost, but it wasn't totally fulfilled. Yeah. There's a greater outpouring of the Holy Spirit coming. You know, I'm going to remind you every time I'm here, you know that righteousness and wickedness are ripening together.
Yeah.
We've got the grandest, most powerful, holiest body of believers ever to be on the face of the earth that's coming.
Yeah.
Righteousness is ripening before Jesus reaps it. Mm-hmm. And here's some of the things that are going to happen. I'm going to pour out my Spirit on all people. Mm. Every person in the world will have a touch of the Holy Spirit. The Spirit will be, that doesn't mean they'll respond, but on all people.
Yeah, they'll have a chance.
They'll have a chance.
Yeah.
Your sons and your daughters will prophesy. I pray prophecy will break out here. Mm. Encouragement. Speak words. Don't leave this place. If you've got something for somebody, go tell them. Mm. That may be the very word that changes their lives. And your old men will dream dreams. Yes, I'm one of them, but come on. And your young men will see visions. And
yes.
Even on my servants. Yes, come on. On my servants, both men and women, I'll pour out my Spirit. In those days, I'll show wonders in the heavens above, on the earth below, and so forth. Yeah. Come on, this is the day.
Yeah. Mm. So,
By the way, one more thing here.
Yeah.
I just got to read this one. Joshua told the people, consecrate yourselves, for tomorrow the Lord will do amazing things among you.
Yeah. Yeah. Joshua 3:5.
Yeah.
So, again, we see this sanctification, consecration, preparation. Getting ready, doing business with God. I love what you said, Don. Live with a short leash this week.
Oh, yeah, yeah.
I mean, forever live with a short leash. But live with a short leash this week. Don't let too much get too far out there. Keep it tight. Keep it reeled in. Let's live a sanctified life this week. So much so that we at least are cooperating so that we might see God do something. Awesome. Well, Steve, what are you hoping for? Something awesome. I don't even know. What am I believing for? National revival.
Amen.
Why not here? Why not now? Why not us?
Yeah.
Someone's got to believe for it. Yeah. I know we're not the only ones, but I want to be found believing for it.
Go look at the transformation videos again and
see
what God does when people turn to the Lord. My favorite one, yours is Fuji, I think, but mine, Fiji, whatever. Mine's Alamogordo, Guatemala, where they had 20,000 people in this village, and they had four jails, and everybody was drunk, and there was nothing happening, and some faithful pastor went over there and started preaching the word, and they closed all the jails. They don't have any jails anymore, and the whole land started producing. They weren't having any crops. Now they had four times a week. Yeah. They had to go to the market. They had carrots this big, cabbage is huge. I mean, there are pictures of it. Yeah. I mean, the whole land was transformed. Yes, Lord. Yes,
yes.
Right here. Yes.
Yes,
in
yes,
Jesus
yes.
Jesus' name.
For Steve. So here's a practical piece for you this week. Yeah. What can I do? Psalm 24 says this, who shall ascend the hill of the Lord? And who shall stand in his holy place? And he gives three things. First, he who has clean hands. So I want you to think actions. What are actions that I've done that I may need to own and make right here and here? A pure heart is the second thing. Attitudes. Are there attitudes that need to be owned? Spouses, friends, leaders, employers, employees. And then it says, and for those who do not lift up their soul to an idol. And I want you to think of the word affections. Where have you let your affections go beyond the first place of Jesus?
Yeah.
So actions, attitudes, affections. Invite the Lord to bring conviction and be responsive to that.
Amen. It's a great word. All right, so I want to close with three quick announcements that I believe wholeheartedly are in the same spirit that we're talking about. First of all over the campus, all over the building, there are these little two-sided business cards, okay? We want you to take handfuls of these. You can take them, hand them out at work, put them on people's windshield wiper, put them in people's mailbox, do whatever you need to do. Let's invite people to come and to participate next Sunday. Now, I will tell you, we are having two services right here next Sunday morning. We're not canceling church because, well, Steve, you can't ask him to come to church in the morning and church in the evening. Yes, I can. So we'll see you next Sunday morning with a good word, and then Sunday afternoon. But these are invitations. Go all over sacredassembly.com, my Facebook page, all that stuff. We're giving people a theme every day, something to pray and fast over. We've been doing it for the last 14 days. There's 7 days left. Help us get the word out. Let's get the place packed. I had a very concerned precious woman came up to me after first service and say, Steve, I've talked to my friends that go to other churches and their pastors aren't talking about this. How come? And I said, I can't tell you because they've been invited. That troubles me.
But thank God.
But maybe, thank maybe God we've got over 100 churches, I think maybe 125 churches that have said we're in. Yeah. So praise God for that. Thank God for that. So invite, get the word out, number one. Number two, tonight in the spirit of all of this, we're showing a documentary that's just coming out called One Generation Away. And this is a fantastic documentary about the threat of our religious liberties here in the United States. Very, very well done. I'm very excited for you to see it. I'll be here tonight to watch it again. I've seen it twice in its fullness already. Great movie. Free tickets. Come on out tonight, but go online and get your tickets. There's info in your bulletin on how to do that. Then last but not least, before Don prays for us on our way out, today is also Connect Sunday, which is you have an opportunity to do life together the way that the scripture tells us to. And there's life groups that are open up and are welcoming you to come and meet in their homes, study the word, pray for one another, bear one another's burdens, love and serve one another, to do the 40 one another's of the New Testament. The best place to do it is in a life group. It's part of our spiritual DNA here at Grace Chapel, and we want you to participate. There's a map. There's tables set up around the hallways outside the sanctuary here. Go, go, go. So Connect Sunday, get involved in a life group. Come to the documentary tonight, and then get the word out this week. Let's live a consecrated, sanctified life, and then let's believe for God to do something phenomenal next Sunday. And God's people said,
amen.
Pray for us, Pastor.
Well, may our Lord Jesus Christ himself and God our Father, who loved us and by his grace gave us eternal encouragement, he gave us eternal encouragement and good hope. May he encourage your hearts and strengthen you in every good deed and word. Yeah. That's a prayer from Paul in Thessalonians, but I pray that. Yeah. And I pray that the God of hope will fill you with joy and peace as you trust in him, so that you will be so full of hope that you'll overflow with hope by the power of the Holy Spirit.
Yeah.
To him who's able to do all those good things that we've been talking about, more than we can ask or even think, dream, or imagine, he's able to do all those. We trust you for that. We want to trust you for that. We invite you, Lord, to radically transform our lives. To you who's able to do all that by the power that's at work with us, to you be glory in the people of God and in Jesus, the Messiah.
Yeah.
And the people of God said,
amen, and so be it. Amen, somebody. Amen. Good, good, good. God bless and keep you.